Hello, infidels. You are listening to the Savage Nation. Borders, language, culture, be here or be nowhere.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation of Day 2 of the New Dawn in America. You would hope it would be a new dawn, that the leftist cowards in the media finally have awakened to the threat of Islam to the West, the clash of civilizations as it appears to be. I will remind you that several years ago, 35 Jewish men, women, and children were slaughtered, mercilessly shot in cold blood in Mumbai, India, by Muslims with machine guns. Now, of course, it was reported in the news for a day or two, but there was no hashtag, I stand with the Chabadniks. Hashtag, we are all Jews. No lights, no candles around the world. Everyone went on with their business. But now that it's come home, the Anderson Coopers and the Wolf Blitzers of the world are suddenly shaking in their boots. Suddenly they realize that they could be next. And so they all link arms together and scream about freedom of speech. They've forgotten how many other innocents have been slaughtered by Muslims in recent years and are being slaughtered by Muslims as we speak in the Middle East, enslaved, raped, murdered, buried alive, taken into slavery. Not one word from the very same people who are suddenly screaming about a few cartoonists and others who were unfortunately killed by Muslims yet again. That's the real story. But there are many other elements to this story, including your president, Hussein Obama, who continues to flood America with Muslims. The last we saw, they were bringing in 4 million Muslims a year. Now, why in the world would you bring Muslims in who refuse to assimilate into a society that they hate? Ask them what they think of this society. They'll tell you. Let me quote one. You know about the hate preacher in Britain, Anjem Choudhury? Well, he said Muslims do not believe in freedom of speech. That's for you, Anderson Cooper. That's for you, all of you. British radical cleric hate preacher Choudhury wrote an opinion piece on Thursday regarding the Paris terrorist attack in the USA Today. It was published in the USA Today. And he said, people know the consequences, opposing view. What does he mean by know the consequences? Well, here's what the Muslim hate preacher wrote. Contrary to popular misconception, Islam does not mean peace, but rather means submission to the commands of Allah alone. Therefore, Muslims do not believe in the concept of freedom of expression, as their speech and actions are determined by divine revelation and not based on people's desires. Did you hear what I just said to you? Now, compare that with the apologists in your media who are jumping to defend Islam, such as you're going to hear now in clip number one on the Savage Nation. Go ahead.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam.
I stopped calling these people Muslim terrorists. They're about as Muslim as I am.
You know, religious fundamentalists of all stripes and of all nationalities have this penchant to say, we want to be able to tell you what you can and can't portray.
These individuals interpret their religion in one way. This is not a systematic problem of the way the religion teaches people to go out and practice their religion.
It's that overall policy which invites retaliation, and they see us as intruders.
I think that there was an excuse here about cartoons, but I don't believe really that was at the root of it.
Islamophobia and prejudice against Muslims and Arabs in France is a real problem.
They're university graduates and they are unemployed and the governments do not have jobs.
They're these communities that have become, some of them, largely Muslim, economically depressed.
And these are difficult decisions that news organizations now have to make, that magazines will have to make, because yes, of course you believe in freedom of speech, but do you also want to put lives at risk? Particularly, it's one thing to put your own life at risk, you're putting other people's.
So that's Zachariah, who I've always known to be a quisling, coming out of the closet finally, saying that you should put your First Amendment aside and submit to Islam, in more words than one. But Zachariah is a clever boy, he knows how to do it. So Adam Choudhury, the British hate preacher, says Muslims do not believe in freedom of speech, and yet morons like Howard Dean, Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper and the others continue to throw mud in our eyes and talk about the religion of peace. Well, it's not a religion of peace. Now, I challenge those of you listening to this show to tell me why you would bring 4 million Muslims a year into America at a time like this. How many of them are radicals looking to pick up a machine gun and mow down you and your daughter in a mall? I don't know. Do you know? You mean Jed Johnson of the Department of Homeland Security knows? Can anyone listening to this show name recent Muslim contributions to civilization? I did research on this before the show. I couldn't find any. I find page after page about Muslim contributions to civilization, but they all refer to the 8th to the 11th century. They do not refer to current Muslim contributions to civilization, because as far as I can tell, there aren't any. Did you hear what I just said to you? Now, when there was an Italian wave into America, we know that there were criminals amongst them, as there were amongst Jews and Irish and Protestants. But the Italian culture gave a great deal to the melting pot. The Italian people gave us civilization. They gave us a cuisine. They gave us art. They gave us opera. The Irish people brought a sense of humor and of poetry and of art and hard labor to America. I could go down the list of all waves of immigrants in the past. Look at the Mexican people. They bring us hard labor. They bring us a cuisine. And they do bring us their culture. But can someone listening to this show tell me why we would bring in 4 million Muslims to America a year at a time like this? Why? Can you name recent Muslim contributions to civilization? Now, I want to bring up another point. Mumbai, India. Does anyone remember Mumbai, India? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Don't call the show, because some of you do. Zachariah apparently forgot that. Wolf Blitzer forgot Mumbai, India, when Jews were slaughtered in cold blood, including children, machine gun in front of their parents. There was blood all over the floor of that hotel. And the media didn't run around with hashtags, as I say. The reason they're acting up and out of control in France is because they let them grow in numbers. I had on this show yesterday a man who speaks Arabic, who was a former terrorist. And he told us, Shobat, Walid Shobat, former member of the PLO, former terrorist himself, he reads the Arabic literature. He said they act like they're going to comply when they're in small numbers in a society. But once they have the numbers, they will try to impose their culture on the culture in which they have been invited. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now let's make it very personal. I am the only member of the American media who's actually been banned from entering a nation because of my speech. Do you know that? You know that I, despite all of what you hear from all of the blowhards in the media, I am the only member of the American media who's been banned by a government and listed with murderers and terrorists for comments I didn't even say. Do you know that? Do you know who I am? Many of you are new listeners. You don't know who I am. Michael Savage is my name. And I have been blacklisted from entering Britain. Did you know that? I am the only member of the American media not allowed to enter Britain. It shocked me. I saw it in May of 09. I turned on the Drudge Report and it said, Savage banned from Britain. I thought it was a joke. But you see, I was known as the poster child for free speech then. And not just for Americans concerned about a cultural shift towards a totalitarianism and their rights to freedom of expression, but for people around the globe who know what was done to me. In mid-2009, worldwide media attention concerning this ban resulted in a New Yorker magazine profile written about me, which I invite you to read on my website, michaelsavage.com. But what was it that banned me from entering Britain? Why did they include my name amongst murderers and terrorists? Why? Well, the former Home Secretary of the UK, Jackie Smith, put me on that list and listed me along with terrorists and said I could not enter Britain. The Prime Minister at the time and Foreign Minister both approved the smear campaign, refusing to remove Michael Savage's name from this dubious list, even after secret emails were uncovered at great expense. And so I was banned in Britain. People at the time couldn't believe it. Boris Johnson, journalist, the London Telegraph, said the ban against Savage makes us look so infantile, so pathetic. What are we, some sort of kindergarten that needs to be protected against these dangerous American radio shows? Nancy Pelosi was quoted at the time. She said, conservative radio is a huge threat and political advantage for Republicans, and we have to find a way to stop it. Michael Fabricant, member of the British Parliament, was quoted. He said, the things of which She, Jackie Smith, accuses Mike Savage are also illegal in the U.S., and he has not faced prosecution there. Does she realize how ludicrous her ban is and the disrepute into which she has put this country in the eyes of many right-seeing and indeed left-seeing people in the United States? On and on it goes. The point is that what I actually said is very interesting. On one of my radio broadcasts in 2009, I dared say the following. I posed a question, and I said, what would happen if a radical group of Muslims got control of an atomic device? Would you rather see 100 million of them killed or 100 million of us killed? Well, the vermin in the media, right here in the American media, the very same vermin who are now running around with hashtag about the Paris incident, jumped on that, twisted the words, and said, Savage says kill 100 million Muslims. I never said that. The very same leftist who was screaming today about the slaughter in Paris twisted my words in order to try to destroy me. And as a result, the left-wing socialist Labour Party in England added my name to a list of terrorists, and I've not been able to enter England since that day. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So many will talk about freedom of speech, and they're all this, and they're all that. But how many of them have actually been touched by this war against freedom of speech? Very, very few. As I say, I'm the only member of the U.S. media ever blacklisted from a Western nation, and yet Fox News refused to cover this story then, and Fox News refuses to cover me today. That includes Martha Washington, the most important woman in the world. So what was my reaction to being banned in Britain? I used humor. But I'm not going to use much humor today. I'm going to tell you about satire today. In many ways, my humor is satiric. And you should know that satire has deep historical roots in Europe, where irreverence and ridicule to this day are seen as a means of wearing away at the authority of self-important political and religious leaders and institutions. That's what satire does. In the past, governments have often jailed satirists, and their targets have often sued them. But the art of satire is to this day seen as one of the mainstays of a liberal democracy. And I address this to you liberals who don't even understand your own background. In the 18th century, the French writer Voltaire enraged many of those in France with caustic depictions of royalty and the Catholic Church. It goes on and on. I am fundamentally a satirist, and I've spoken about that. In fact, in 2007, I was given the Freedom of Speech Award by the radio industry. I think it was the Talkers Magazine gave me the Freedom of Speech Award. And I gave a speech on satire and what it means. And I'm going to play it for you later on the program. We're also going to continue to talk about the apologists on the left. And this is not a unfiltered talk day. This is not an unprotected talk day. I really only want to talk about this topic, because unless Obama is stopped from flooding America with millions and millions of Muslims, we will be France in a few years. The majority will reach a point, a saturation point, from which there will be no return. All Muslim immigration must stop now. Is John Boehner, Mr. Mantan, the man to do it? The man with the sickening chemical tan on his skin? Is he the man to stand up to Obama? I doubt it. It's we the people who are going to have to say enough is enough, no more. Now, again, I have raised the question, can you name recent Muslim contributions to civilization? Oh, we all know about the zero. We know the Arabs gave us the zero, and that's a wonderful thing. And let's see, there was another thing they gave civilization somewhere around the 11th century, but I don't know of any recent contributions to civilization. It seems they've given us everything against civilization that you could ever imagine. Now, you have to ask yourself, why has Islam, as we know it today, become so moribund? Why are people frozen in Muslim nations? They're very brilliant people. They're very bright people. They're as bright and as stupid as anyone else. So in this massive number of people on the earth who are following this religion, there must be some geniuses, but why are they held down? What is it about their culture, society, or religion itself that inhibits their creativity? Why have there been no discoveries coming out of these countries? Why? Think about it. Can you blame it on George Bush? I doubt it, but I will be back in a minute to take your calls right here at 855-400-7282.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So a few years ago, Muslim terrorists slaughtered 120 people, if you remember, in Mumbai, India. Do you remember that? Most of them were Jews. They went to hotels, a hospital, a restaurant, a railway station. They slaughtered members of the ultra-Orthodox Jewish Hasidic group. And the Indian soldiers finally stormed the last hideouts of the Islamist militants and killed them. They didn't bring them to justice. But you forgot about that because there were no hashtags on Anderson Cooper's jeans. So that's what we're talking about today. If you have something to add to the discussion, you know what to call. Let's go to MAL Radio, WMAL in Washington, D.C. Ryan, what's your point? Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, Dr. Ron Paul wrote an article today, and you can find it on Facebook.
Yeah, he's an idiot. Dr. Ron Paul is a moron. I played it yesterday. It sounds to me like he was inhaling the anesthesia that he was using over the years. How could he blame the French for this?
Because, let me explain this to you, sir. They have
you don't have to explain stupidity to me. It's inexplicable unless you're on the same anesthesia as him. You mean because the French stood up to the Muslims, they deserved to be killed yesterday?
Yes, they did. How about that?
So then you now are a terrorist, so you agree with the terrorists.
Great conversation. No, what I'm saying to you, if I'm allowed the opportunity, sir...
Well, you may not be allowed the opportunity. I'm not sure you will be. Not when you take the side of terrorists, no.
Side of the terrorists. I'm telling you how they invited this upon themselves, which we are doing currently here in this country.
So in other words, we should be passive to the Muslim invasion and aggression around the world. Is that what you're saying?
I'm hoping we're not, because we're following the same suit as the French, sir.
But you're not making any sense, Mr. Muslim sympathizer.
You've got to be kidding me, Dr. Savage.
No, you are a Muslim terrorist sympathizer. Because what you're saying is you want to turn the blind eye, what, to the rapes and the murders and the enslavement in Iraq and Syria right now? You think ISIS should not be fought?
Roll one up in
Sanford. No. What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? Answer the question. You believe in the rapes and the kidnappings by ISIS? Is that what you're saying?
You're a fool.
Yeah, in other words, you lost the argument, you degenerate bum, you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
But we have a problem on our hands with the massive influx of Muslims and other immigrants into this nation. And in the wake of the Paris terror massacre, I am very concerned over whether or not Obama's flooding of America with immigrants, and Muslim immigrants in particular, will overwhelm us. There's an article on this subject that's worth looking at, and that's on Fox News, saying, is America's intel effort rendered too weak to work? Is the U.S. more at risk than ever for an attack? And they cite weakened intelligence capabilities. Now, yesterday on the Savage Nation, I pointed a finger at Dianne Feinstein. What did Dianne Feinstein do to our CIA before Christmas that could have, and I say could have, led to this attack in Paris? And I say it again today. Dianne Feinstein released a CIA report about torture that had the same chilling effect on their work as de Blasio has had on the New York Police Department. If you were a CIA field operative, what would you be doing after Dianne Feinstein outed you in such a report? Would you continue to risk your life every day to uncover a terror cell and to try to get them snatched for interrogation? You'd be afraid of that Harridan on Pacific Heights, wouldn't you? You'd really be afraid to do your job, wouldn't you? So maybe they were about to break a cell somewhere in the world that could have given up this attack before it happened. But because of Dianne Feinstein and her fellow sister travelers, our intelligence capabilities have been quite muted, if they function at all. And I don't know if they're functioning at all anymore because of these psychotic left-wing fanatics. So don't say there's no fingers to point. When she did this, I said that when Republican Congress comes in January, one of their first items on the agenda should be a hearing on Dianne Feinstein's business dealings. And why would Dianne Feinstein have outed the CIA at a time like this? Do you think Mantan Boehner would do this? Do you think we truly have an opposition party that's just come into Congress? Are you kidding me? You saw the hug from the, what's her name, Nancy Pelosi. She hugged Boehner like he was a little boy who did the right thing. And he looked just like a happy little boy as Mama gave him a kiss for doing the job that he was sent to do by the power structure. Boehner is a stooge and a tool of the Democrat socialist machine. Make no mistake about it. And so is the gobbler from Kentucky, McConnell. He may talk loud, but he doesn't carry a big stick. McConnell is another one, another Quisling. So we the people have the problem in our own hands. We're facing the problem. Now I want to play for you the crackpot Ron Paul's speech that we had an argument, or that I had an argument with a caller a few segments ago. Listen to this speech. Go ahead.
Being involved in all these wars and supporting dictators one week and taking away the support and the stupidity of us sending all those weapons into Syria and then up in the hands of ISIS. And right now, we're even sending more weapons, you know, because ISIS took all
Ron
the American...
Paul was a fine doctor, but I think that the anesthesia seeped into his system and affected his thinking. So now he's blaming France yesterday for being attacked because France was fighting ISIS. And then we had a caller now taking the same position. That's like saying, don't fight Hitler over there, because it has nothing to do with us. Well, Hitler would have come here had he not been fought there. You know, had we not had a war in Europe, the war would have come to our shores. And make no mistake about it, the war has already come to our shores. If you can remember back to 9/11/2001, and ever since then, how many other attacks have been done by radical Muslims in the country? Have you swept them all under the rug because you watch Jake Tapper too often? Is that the problem? KFNX Radio, Mike, go ahead, please, topic.
Yes, about the France magazine shooting. I think that Europe is a gun-free zone, so I don't hear any of these gun grabbers mentioning that. And this morning I was listening to the news, and I recall that it might have been John Cameron from Britain talking about solidarity with the French, about how much they believe in the freedom of the press and freedom of the speech. And the first thing I thought about was Dr. Michael Savage being banned in England. So he's just a big fat hypocrite when he says that he's all in favor of freedom of the speech and freedom of the press.
Well, it was well known in 2009 that I was banned along with true Muslim terrorists and skinheads who killed immigrants. And I was not allowed to enter England for lies about me. No, Cameron was, I was told that when Cameron came to office, because he's a conservative, quote unquote, he would remove my name from that despicable list. But he joined the enemies. He joined my enemies by refusing to remove the ban in Britain. It's that simple. So what does that tell you about so-called Tories, so-called Labourites, so-called Republicans, so-called Democrats? What does that tell you?
Well, it looks like we're back to attacking the Barbary pilots, but we don't have anybody in office that's got the backbone to do it.
Yes, my friend. Thank you for caring about reality. Now, I want to tell you about the foundation of the United States Marine Corps, which I've told on this show a few times. The Marines are known as leathernecks, right? When you say Marine, some of you know the older phrase for them called leathernecks, right? Well, it's an actuality. They wore leathernecks. Do you know where that came from? Well, I'll tell it to you the best I can recall now on the Savage Nation. Way back when, we had merchant ships plying the world. And when they entered the Mediterranean, they were attacked by Muslim pirates along the Barbary coast. And so the merchant ships begged the U.S. government, the young U.S. government, it was in the early 1800s, to provide soldiers on their merchant ships to protect them from barbaric Muslim pirates. Well, they sent soldiers, really tough guys, with cutlasses and guns, and they gave them a strip of leather for the neck to protect them against the sword thrusts of the Muslim pirate terrorists. And so they got the name Leathernecks. That's where the origin of the name Leathernecks comes from, so best I can tell the story. So there's really very little under the sun. Is there? Is there something new under the sun other than now you have a government actually inviting this upon us by justifying their behavior? WBAP in Dallas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. The problem with it can be boiled down to one word, and that's fundamentalism. In the 8th century, Muslims made a decision that the Quran was going to be absolute. Compare that with the church. St. Thomas Aquinas and the Scholastic Method, where you had
people being inquisitive and able to challenge the book. And this gave way to the universities in the 12th century. Chesterton said it's no mistake that the Industrial Revolution and science and all that happened in Christian countries.
That's exactly right. Christianity liberated the world, and the religion itself is liberating. This is something liberals don't understand at all. Was it not for Christianity, they'd be living in slavery.
And doctor, if Western civilization thinks it can cut the flower of that civilization from its roots, well, a flower only looks good for a few days.
Well, Harvard University was originally a divinity school, as were many elite American institutions. They become cesspools of the opposite of the teachings of Christianity. They are degenerate cesspools that stand for the opposite of their own founding.
And if we cut off, you know, we can't cut...
That's right. Well, that's why the flower of civilization is dying in the West. You're 100% right. And I thank you for pointing out the answer to the question of the day. But remember this, there was a time in the early days, and I've tried to give you this history, I don't want to do it again, it's exhausting for most of you, about the early days of Arab conquest, and I showed it to you yesterday, it was a great, brilliant piece of 25 years of conquest. And then after the conquest, when they had conquered, they swept out of Arabia and conquered Egypt, Persia, Armenia, parts of China, and converted most of the population, not by love, not by peace, not by the message of Jesus, but by killing them, burning them, raping them, you know, in the good old-fashioned way. But then something happened. Learning followed. So shortly thereafter, in a couple of hundred years that was, the intolerance of the early days of the Muslim conquest started to give way. By the 8th century, the Islamists established an educational organization throughout the whole Arabized world. In another 100 years, in the 9th century, learned men in the schools of Cordoba in Spain began corresponding with learned men in Cairo, Baghdad, Bukhara, and Samarkand. And soon thereafter, the Arab and Jewish minds assimilated well, and the two Semitic races worked very well together, through the medium of Arabic, I mind you. And that was the flowering of the world. And great things were given to the world. Great advances were made in mathematics, medicine, physical science. If you remember, the clumsy Roman numerals that you occasionally see were ousted by the Arabic figures. The numbers that we use are Arabic figures. The zero sign was first employed in the Arabic. The very name algebra is Arabic. The word chemistry is Arabic. So there was great learning in the 9th century, and it reanimated the medieval philosophy of France and Italy and the whole Christian world. But then something happened, didn't it? What has happened to these brilliant Muslim people that they have become paralyzed over the last number of centuries? Why? Why do they insist upon dragging us back to the 7th and 8th century? Well, let's look at current events. The Saudis, our so-called friends, have funded a sect of Islam known as the Wahhabi sect. Research the Wahhabists and what they stand for. This has set Islam back hundreds of years. The Muslims were not at war for these thousand years everywhere. They were living in harmony to a great extent with their neighbors. But then the Saudis, in their bloodlust to take over the world because of their oil wealth, that was not good enough for them. They wanted to conquer the world, and so they poisoned Islam itself with this sect known as Wahhabism. And I don't have the time nor the inclination to go into a lecture now on Wahhabism, but you can research it for yourself, and you'll see what the poison is and where the poison originated, which is a little too much for a national political radio show when it is political, and today it is political. As you know, I introduced a new format in this show about a week ago and was going great. I was having a lot of fun with it. It was certainly less stressful than this. But since so many people were slaughtered by Muslims in France, it's time to go back to the very difficult work of talking about the difficult work. And that is the radical Islamists amongst us. Yes, they're in France, but they're also here. How many of them have come across the border disguised as Mexicans? I don't know. Ask your Department of Homeland Security, because they know as well as I do.
because I read this for a daily job. Many copies of prayer rugs and Qurans have been found abandoned at the border by Middle Easterners who are sneaking into this country along with your good friendly Central Americans. Now, yesterday I pointed out that the French police have no guns. Of course, today was picked up by another talk show who got it a day late and a chapter too light. But the fact is that the national police have guns in France along the lines of what Obama and Holder would like for America, which is that all local police in America be disarmed and there be one national federal police force, a sort of SA, and then an SS reporting only to the Fuhrer. So police are on the front lines of this fight. And in New York City, they've been neutralized by DiBlasio, by Obama, and by Al Sharpton. KKOBJ, what is your topic? Go ahead, please.
I'm wondering if you are familiar with the Muslim doctrine of deception.
I'm waiting to hear your view of such a doctrine, if it exists.
Well, it's a doctrine that comes out of the Quran, and it's spelled T-A-Y-T-A-Y-Y-Q-U-A. And it's basically saying that it's a noble thing for a true Islamic believer to lie to further the cause of Islam.
I wouldn't be shocked by that. I wouldn't be shocked by it. I don't know that it's in the Quran. It certainly could be part of the public relations arm of this invasion. You know, so they have everything they can do to infiltrate our FBI, CIA, Department of Defense, police departments being lectured to by Muslim clerics. Muslim cleric defends slaughter. Here's another one, if you'd like to hear this story, to show you that it's not limited to them. It's from the Drudge Report. I read this one, Radical Muslim Cleric Anjem Choudhury, I read that one, where he says that free speech is not part of Islam. And he said that mass murder is an appropriate response to being offended by a cartoon. And the British will not throw him out of their country. Instead, the British continue to ban Michael Savage from entering that nation of the Magna Carta. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Is there a doctrine of deception practiced by Islamists in this country is the question. Tom on MAL may have the answer. Tom, go ahead. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yeah, just to confirm what your other caller said, yes, there is this, and it goes back to the Quran and Muhammad. What it was designed for is to allow Muslims, he said Muslims may use deception, may lie and denounce their faiths or whatever to defend themselves, to protect themselves, and it could be used in a way to deflect any kind of criticism of them. And it was expanded, he actually used in a couple of cases where he actually went and signed some treaties, but then broke the treaties using assassins. Look up the word assassin. It also comes from that period.
Did you say look up the word assassin?
Yeah, assassin, assassini.
Right. It also has a derivation of the word hashish. You know that as well.
Yeah.
Do you know that most of the assassins in the Middle East are high on hashish before they go on their rampages? That's for all the potheads out there that don't know the dangers of this drug and its effects on the neurochemistry of a person's mind. But that's a side story. Hashish comes from the same derivation as assassin. Well, I thank you for enlightening us. Yes, there's deception everywhere, including from the President of the United States, who pretends to care about our borders, language, and culture, while decimating same. When I come back, we talk about other topics of the day. All the news of the day. Right now, the manhunt is on for the men, the gunmen, not the Muslim gunmen, not the Islamist gunmen. Already, Anderson Cooper and his buddies at CNN and MSNBC have dropped any connection to the I or M words. It's now gunmen.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, the world has awakened once again to the dangers of, if you want to call it radical Islam, go ahead, whatever you want to do. Now the world sees another face of the religion of peace, and some would say the whole religion is not a religion of peace. In fact, a preacher in England known as the hate preacher Choudhury says Islam does not mean peace. Now, I don't care what Howard Dean says or Wolf Blitzer or any of them. The fact is that one of the number one spokes mouths for radical Islam, allowed in England while I'm not, says that Islam does not mean peace. It means submission. Now, compare that to Barack Obama, who says it's a peaceful religion. I'll read you what he said. He published it in USA Today. Choudhury says, contrary to popular misconception, Islam does not mean peace, but rather means submission to the commands of Allah alone. He says, therefore, Muslims do not believe in the concept of freedom of expression, as their speech and actions are determined by divine revelation and not based on people's desires. So in other words, you have to be a robot. You can't think for yourself. They don't believe in individuality, and they don't believe in freedom of any kind. So what more do you need to say? Why are we bringing Muslims in by the millions? Why is Obama not slamming the door down on people who will not assimilate? I don't have an answer for you. You have to ask yourself whether he's doing it because it's a snowballing effect of their out-of-control open borders policy, or whether it's done by intent in order to smother the society forever. You have to ask yourself, does he truly hate the society that much that he would do this to us? Meanwhile, the hunt goes on. The gunmen, they're now calling them gunmen, there's no relation to the MRI word. The gunmen are now being hunted in a forest in France by special forces and police helicopters. And what's interesting to me is that if they were on the run in Russia and they ran into a forest, I don't think that it would be taking this long for the Spetsnaz to have found them and assassinated them in the woods. But because it's France, the nation of liberté, equality, fraternité, I'm sure the armed suspects wanted over the cartoon massacre will be treated with kid gloves. And they will be afforded all the best lawyers that the socialist prime minister can afford to give them. Apparently, they're in the vast Retz forest, a 32,000-acre forest roughly the size of Paris. And special police are combing the French countryside, looking for the Muslim slaughterers. I wonder what the Russians would do in such a case. I wonder if the Russians, who are now not our allies but our enemies because of the genius sorority girls that run our country, the Obama sorority girls have now turned our greatest ally in the war against Islamic terror, Russia, into our enemy. Think about that one. Now let's go to some other things I wanted to do when the show began. And that's talk about beating the liberal blacklist and being banned in Britain. I am the most trusted source of news and information that the networks and cronies in Washington don't want you to hear. Me. I'm the most trusted source of analysis and information that the networks and cronies in Washington don't want you to hear. And in this book, Banned in Britain, which I wrote years ago, you'll find secret documents and emails which prove that the British government conspired to besmirch me, an innocent man, and my reputation. And it was kept under wraps by both Britain and America's censored Marxist media. And I'm reaching out to you of all faiths, of all political parties and creeds, who value your right to free speech and the sanctity of independent thought. I'm reaching out to you to understand that this is not just about conservatives' freedom of speech. It's for anyone who expects to have a future voice in America. I am the only member of the American media banned in Britain. You would think that at a time like this, Fox News would be reaching out to Savage and saying, hey, you've been tarred and feathered by this. Why don't you tell us what happened? Tell us what the government of England did. Tell us why Cameron will not take you off the list. But no, I am persona non grata. So what? I live with it. But Mr. President, my fellow debaters, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play for you now the speech that never was, which is Michael Savage's historic speech
to the Cambridge Union that was canceled by a government intimidation that was originally scheduled for October 15, 2009. Let me repeat what I'm going to play for you. The Cambridge Union, known for vigorous debates, invited me to speak in 2009. And I was prepared to speak in 2009. Even though I had been banned, they were going to set up a TV feed for me to debate this issue of freedom of speech in Cambridge, the famous Cambridge Debate Society. But at the last minute, their government intervened and canceled my appearance in Cambridge, England. And so I gave the speech nevertheless, and we're about to play a piece of it for you right now on the Savage Nation.
Mr. President, my fellow debaters, ladies and gentlemen, or shall I stop right now? Why don't we begin with an actual opening from Cambridge University, the opening that you should have heard had Cambridge University lived by its traditions. Let's hear it, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cambridge Union Society this evening for this very special debate. We have a distinguished lineup of guests, many, many MPs, as well as, of course, our guest of honor,
Michael Savage!
Well, my chair will be empty tonight. This group of children who has taken over the Cambridge Debating Society have given the society a black eye that they will never recover from. Now, they will try to hide it from their own archives, but remember, I don't think this has ever occurred before. The government of the Gordon Brown administration no doubt intimidated them, that's my guess, with a threat of cutting off funds. So I will debate as though I am there, even though my chair is empty. Mr. President, my fellow debaters, ladies and gentlemen, I've been invited to debate before you tonight against the insanity of political correctness because a terrible injustice has been done. In May of this year, former Home Secretary Jackie Smith, now fired, released a list of murderers and terrorists banned from entering the United Kingdom. Michael Savage was also included on this list. In doing this to me, she has linked and listed one of America's most beloved radio talk show hosts who has 10 million listeners alongside Russian skinheads who are in prison for having murdered 10 immigrants and videoed the murders, as well as a Hamas murderer who executed two Jewish parents, hunted down their four-year-old daughter who had hid inside a crawl space, and when he found the little child, he crushed in her head with a rifle butt. That's right, my name is on a list with those people. Would not criminals of this caliber be arrested immediately upon entry into the United Kingdom? Or does this imply that all but those on the list are allowed into the United Kingdom? For example, Osama bin Laden was not in this list. Would he be allowed to enter the UK? Why would someone who has never committed a crime, nor appeared as a defendant in a criminal trial, nor been accused of an actual crime, be placed on such a high-profile list by a major nation of the West? I say that it is because of the continuing erosion of freedom of speech in America, in the United Kingdom, and in all nations where such liberties are supposedly granted, and this under the dirty veil of political correctness. My continued dedication to the principles of borders, language, and culture should seem no threat to a nation diligently aware of its own national identity. Admittedly, in my broadcasts, I may not reflect the keen and cool dignity of British gentility, but I have Savile Row in my soul. I must assume then that I pose a threat to the government, and one just as frightening as the most dangerous of international terrors, the thought criminal. This is a person whose thoughts and ideas are so powerful that they lead people to disobey the establishment. George Washington knew this. George Washington had become a thought criminal of the United Kingdom. Did you know that? And history has shown us that when an injustice is being done to a people, they rebel. It is those quiet, peaceful decisions made behind closed doors by polite gentlemen and their associates in seedy back rooms, shrouded in smoke, that provoke the people to action. Secret decisions with no oversight or communication of the kind which sidestep laws and civil liberties with total disregard for the voting public. This is what led to the tyrants of Hitler, Stalin, Castro, Hugo Chavez. We can throw a few others in. Rulers who, when given an inch, will run thousands of miles, perhaps right through our own homes. Ladies and gentlemen, people who disagree with the status quo, whether it's called political correctness or anything else, must speak up and be counted for. Speak for themselves and question authority. I, Michael Savage, have done nothing but this. Yet my opinions are casually shrugged off by so-called liberals in the government and in the media as valueless because they are not politically correct, an ideology with strict guidelines for what should be said and what should not be said in the limelight. Let me explain something. My crime is really nothing more than being a nationalist, a man who loves America, a man who has defined America as a nation defined by its borders, language, and culture. That is anathema to the internationalist Gordon Brown, Barack Obama, and the other internationalists who have now seized democracies across the globe. And as political correctness erodes the volume and value of our vocabulary, so too does it erode our freedom of speech and freedom to hold our lawmakers accountable. Accountable! An idea which in a modern sense can be traced to at least as far back as the Magna Carta. People and their culture are not to be homogenized until they are compatible with other cultures and people. Compatibility must come from within, from debate and discourse and compromise and even legislation, but not from an arbitrary standard which might work for some people in some nations, but not, as Lincoln said, to apply to all of the people all of the time.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I'd like to return now to my Freedom of Speech Award speech, which is a new freedom of speech, which is the ability to speak via talk radio and over the Internet, something not yet banned by Barack Hussein Obama and Gordon Brown. And every word I'm about to say to you comes from my heart. Whether it's the truth or not will be for you to determine. I swear on my Bible that what I'm telling you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I challenge Gordon Brown to do the same in his bunker in London. Let him get out a Bible. Let him get out the King James Bible and swear to God that he knows that I belong in that list. I doubt very much that he'd be able to do that. Now, what kind of kingdom has Britain become? Isn't freedom of speech a value that Western nations must preserve at all costs? One which sets us apart from dictatorship, anarchy, and fatal corruption? Yet it is precisely because of my freedom of speech that I've been targeted by the socialist government in England. This combined with the appointment of the American FCC's new diversity czar in the United States are further steps towards the extinguishing of independent thought on the airwaves and the so-called restructuring of free media based on the FCC's diatribe, according to Mark Lloyd, the diversity czar. Listen to me. In 2007, I was awarded the Freedom of Speech Award by Talkers Magazine. How could the winner of such an award be singled out and banned from traveling to Britain? Well, let's look at it another way. I remember in the 1960s when true liberals used to say, I may disagree with you, but I would fight to the death your right to say it. When have you last heard a liberal say, oh, I may disagree with conservative talk radio, but I would fight to the death their right to say what they believe in? I don't hear that anymore. What instead I hear is, oh, I think it's time to pass a standard to bring accountability to the airwaves. That was stated earlier this year by left-wing Democrats in the House of Representatives. I realize saying left-wing Democrats is an oxymoron. Is that liberalism? Aren't Britain and the U.S. about freedom of speech? That's what this nation has been about from the day it was founded. That's the trail of tears and the trail of blood that led to the freedoms that we enjoy in this nation today. And we cannot permit a few small-minded martinets who don't even know that they're inhabiting the souls of dictators in Congress right now to deny us a freedom of speech. Where are the true good liberals? Where are they? Let's take radio, for example. It's about political correctness. Today, radio is in a more perilous state than it's been in its entire history. As I speak with you, Senator Richard Durbin of Illinois and even Nancy Pelosi were recently circulating a bill in Congress for the so-called fairness doctrine. What is that? Fairness? It's not fairness. It would require the holders of broadcast licenses to present controversial issues of public importance in a manner that was, in the view of the FCC, honest, equitable, and balanced. What does that actually mean? What is honest? What is equitable? And what is balanced? Well, it's a form of political correctness. What this would mean is that people such as myself would no longer be able to speak freely. Is that not dictatorship, the fairness doctrine? Of course it is. It's just that we use fancy rhetoric in this country as opposed to police powers. But make no mistake about it. The fairness doctrine is political correctness. It is censorship, and it has no place in the United States of America. Let me go to another point. Here in America, we enjoy the freedoms afforded us in the First Amendment. The First Amendment is very clear. In Britain, there is no First Amendment. And yet, we see in Britain, speech is already being amended and controlled by liberals who may not like what you're saying. Let's make sure that never happens here in America. Now, let me give you some other examples of the power of freedom of speech. For example, I have said many times that Al Gore is a liar when he preaches that all scientists now agree that global warming is caused by human activity. If I can refute Gore's lies on the airwaves by citing numerous prominent scientific studies which refute Gore's hysterical con, I am using freedom of speech granted to me by the United States Constitution to do so. If radical environmental freaks were to make it a crime to deny global warming, did you hear what I just said to you? There are radical environmental freaks in the Obama administration, in the United Nations and elsewhere, who want to make it a crime to deny global warming. You've heard that, didn't you? They say they want to criminalize anyone who denies global warming. Well, such refutations as mine and those of prominent scientists would be banished from the discussion. Let's look at Iran. Ahmadinejad, the new Hitler of our time, the so-called president of Iran, has said that the Holocaust never occurred. The Holocaust never occurred, he says. Yet there's ample evidence in film, in video, and other places that could be shown at the United Nations. And he's also declared his desire to create a new Holocaust against the Jews in Israel. And yet we see prominent lawyers and journalists, some of Jewish descent even, in our own nation denying the Islamo-fascist connection. Worst, even defending Islamic murderers, for example, in Guantanamo, who would gladly cut their throats and decapitate them while chanting to Allah. Why do they do this? They do it out of fear of offending the SS of today, the Islamo-fascists. They refuse to talk about the codification of hatred for the West, for freedom, for Jews, for Israel, for the United States, and our way of life. That is freedom of speech, is it not? Well, what is freedom of speech? Why do these intellectuals who defend Ahmadinejad deny their own freedom of speech to defend the freedom to preach hatred by their enemies? Why? I'll let you decide why. It's all about fear. Something else about freedom of speech you should know about, and that would be sarcasm, ridicule, and satire. These are elements of freedom.
Savage.
But I want to repeat again, what I'm about to say to you is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and I challenge Gordon Brown to put his hand on a King James Bible and say that everything he's about to say is the truth and nothing but the truth. All right. And I want to repeat again that I don't just go after liberals or Democrats. For years, I criticized the contractor abuses in Iraq under George Bush. Whose freedoms was I denying then? You have to understand that I am an independent. I am not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. I am not a liberal. I'm not really a conservative. By definition, I'm probably a nationalist. But that's a discussion for another time. But whose freedoms was I denying when I pointed out the contractor abuses for years on my radio program? Was it the freedoms of the military-industrial complex to rob the public? President Eisenhower once warned us to beware the military-industrial complex. I played his speech on my show over and over again. Now, who was I criticizing by playing that speech, Democrats or Republicans? I'll let you decide. When I state that our Army and Marine heroes are being sent in to fight door-to-door and suffer and die, and then they are given court-martials if they do their job a little too well, because Obama is either the most hesitant or incompetent commander-in-chief in the history of this nation, whose freedoms am I denying? President Bush said he would not have politicians telling our generals how to conduct the war. Well, I wonder, was he not a politician telling generals how to conduct the war? No war, whether it was in Iraq under Bush or Afghanistan and Iraq under Obama, no war has ever been conducted like this. The same mistakes are being repeated by Obama in Afghanistan. Again, how about another issue? The monster issue, the one that they all want to hide, the issue of 30 million illegal aliens swarming across the United States of America. When I call illegal aliens invaders, and I present the social and fiscal drain that this invading army of illegal aliens is causing on our society, whose freedoms am I denying? Who am I offending? Is it the doctrinaire, knee-jerk Republicans or the Democrats? Probably both. When I, Michael Savage, support my position for borders, language, and culture, do I deny my fellow citizens their rights to redress their grievances to a government all too eager to continue flooding our nation with cheap laborers? When I present the fact that 30% or one out of three prisoners in federal prison is an illegal alien who came to this nation, one out of three prisoners in federal prison is an illegal alien who committed a felony, somebody who didn't belong here to begin with. Do I deny or do I grant my fellow U.S. citizens their right to speak freely through me, a talk show host? Whose rights was I offending? Whose rights was I denying? Certain special interests, I would assume. If these and other like opinions of mine were mine alone, I would not have risen to this position I now enjoy in the world of the spoken and written word. In fact, I am the voice of the voiceless, who have been marginalized and silenced by the illiberal liberals who control virtually all avenues of images and ideas that the world now sees. All images and ideas controlled by the radical left, with the limited exception of conservative talk radio, the most vulnerable medium, now under attack by the new national socialists who would, well, I really should say the new national international socialists who would ban free speech that they disagree with by threatening sponsors through extortionist means of false boycotts or by using other techniques but wanting to achieve the same ends of any dictatorship. And what is that end? The total control of speech, which is the opposite of freedom of speech. Not only is this politically incorrect, it is categorically incorrect. So-called political correctness has no place in a free society. In conclusion, I want you to remember this. The First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was written not to protect polite speech. It was written to protect offensive speech. Vigorous, loud debate is the hallmark of a free society, not the pitiful morgue of politeness. I'm Michael Savage, and I've just presented my arguments against political correctness. In a speech that was supposed to have been broadcast to England, to the Cambridge Debating Society, but was arbitrarily cut off just before broadcast by a group of children who have inherited a great, great university's debating society and have trashed it owing to pressures by the Gordon Brown administration, in my opinion.
Well, I think you just heard a historic speech that you probably never heard before. It's the speech that never was. It was canceled by government intimidation. It was scheduled for October 15, 2009, and oh, how relevant it still is today. Isn't it interesting that it could have been stated today? With the exception of Gordon Brown's name, substitute Cameron, with the exception of Ahmadinejad, substitute one of the mullahs who runs Iran, and that speech is just as fresh then as it is today. That makes it a speech that will live through time. The last line of that speech is one I want to pick up from. Vigorous, loud debate is the hallmark of a free society, not the pitiful morgue of politeness. And I said that the First Amendment was written not to protect polite speech, but to protect offensive speech. I don't think you understand that. Nancy Pelosi certainly doesn't understand that. And now we go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Let's go to line four. John on KCMO in Kansas City. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, by definition, you are a modern-day Koleth, which is Hebrew for one who calls or gathers. You're calling and gathering the people about the truth of Islam, and quite frankly, about the truth of our government. And I commend you on your words. It's incredible.
The greater threat to we Americans is our own government. A government not of the people, by the people, and for the people, but a government of the special interests, such as Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, Microsoft, and the other companies that are flooding America with illegals for cheap labor. And in that rush to get cheap labor, how many of these illegal aliens will be, in fact, jihadists, John?
Several, more than several. You're solemn-esque. You're ecclesiastical in your speech. Your proverbial language speaks of truth. And
It is good language. I looked at the speech. I mean, I have to take credit for my own speech writing. That's as good a speech as any I've ever read. And I'm glad I had an opportunity to reach for it today, because after the slaughter in Paris for a cartoon, I had to point out that my reputation had been slaughtered by England based on lies. It's very important people understand that, that this is not the first slaughter that has occurred. Yes, it's certainly more realistic in the sense that there are dead people. Thank God I was only slaughtered by the pen, not by the sword. But the fact of the matter is, the pen and the sword are on the same arc. And if we do not stop the slander of individuals such as myself, either by the pen or the microphone, what is next is the question. And who will then go to the guillotine of lies? Thank you for the call. Let's go to WLS Radio. James on line 6, your next up topic, please.
Yes, I was going to discuss about Islamofascism and how it relates to this country and overall nationalism. Because in this country, nationalism seems to be the only force to offset internationalism. And I think that's why they want no part of it.
That's why who wants no part of it?
The socialists of this country, this government.
Well, of course. When have you last heard anyone use the word nationalism in this country?
They don't. They're afraid of it. Because.
When have you last heard John Boehner or a single Republican use the word national pride or talk about America's borders, language, and culture? The answer is never. What do they stand for? Nothing. They're lobbyists. John Boehner is by definition a lobbyist. So is McConnell. So is the whole Republican Party. They're lobbyists. They're not representatives of the people. The people want the borders closed. The people want millions of illegal aliens deported. Certainly not all of them, but many of them. The people want the violent criminals deported from the prisons. Who would argue with that?
I don't know who could argue with that, Mr.
Who would argue with, let's start with the deportation word. Why has that been taken off the table? Say, well, you can't deport them. You can deport the 30% of prisoners who are here in our prisons, couldn't you, who are illegal aliens? You could get the buses running south of the border, couldn't you? You get the airplanes flying back to the Middle East, couldn't you?
Just as fast as they come in, they can.
All right, so you can deport. You don't have to deport the worker, the sacred worker, the sacred Hispanic family. Start with the illegal aliens in prison. Get rid of 30% of the prison population. Start by cleaning house with the worst of the worst. Castro did it. Castro did it through the Mariel boat lift, didn't he? We're about to have a boat lift from Muslim countries unlike any before seen in American history. Wait till you see what comes in from Syria. Obama's bringing in 4 million Muslims a year. Did you hear the number? Over 400,000 a month. How many of them have been screened for potential terror ties? The answer is none. It's illegal. Because of the stooge in the Department of Homeland Security, handpicked by Obama, no one knows who he is. Tell me what the background is of Jeh Johnson. Tell me how he's qualified to be the head of DHS. Tell me what he's done to defend our borders, language, and culture. I'm open. My mind is open. Give me an answer to that question. Okay, that's what I feel. WJR in Detroit. Doug, next up, go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael, I was disappointed with the treatment of a caller about an hour ago, maybe an hour and a quarter. He was saying something to the effect that the French deserved that they were at fault. I think he had a very valid point that probably you and I both would have agreed with. However, you got...
Wait, hold on. Again, you're justifying the French getting slaughtered for a cartoon, for their willingness to stand up to the Muslim terrorists in the Middle East?
No, you jumped on the guy, and I think he had a... We never heard it.
Well, what is the valid point? Now, you have the opportunity to make that valid point. What might it be?
No, I would like to have heard it. Anyway, my point is you got kind of emotionally involved.
Now you're attacking me. You have more vitriol for me than you do for the Muslim terrorists, apparently. And you're now saying that the French got what they deserved because Ron Paul the Fool said that.
But I think he was getting to a point in the roundabout way.
He was not getting to a point. He could have made his point quicker than you have made your point. You still haven't made your point. Now, I'm giving you the floor again. What might be the justification for killing those French journalists? Tell me what that might be.
Well, there's none.
All right, well, thank you. Then you agree with me. So what are you getting your underwear in a bunch for? Again, because Ron Paul said it. It's the gospel. You see, here's the problem with people. They once believed in Ron Paul, so they think he can do no evil. Ron Paul is a crackpot. Ron Paul is a nut. Ron Paul must have inhaled his own anesthesia. That's why Ron Paul is Ron Paul, who is now marginalized. And his son is not too far from the seltzer truck. Let me tell you something. The son doesn't fall too far from the anesthesia. That's why Ron Paul is not a viable candidate. Rand Paul, whatever his name is. Ron, Rand, Schmand. He can't be president. Hillary will chop him up like an M&M. She'll eat him like an M&M. He'll be devoured and salivated. Her saliva will devour him before he gets on the stage. All right, that's my opinion. You don't like me anymore. There's nothing I can do. I don't like people calling and telling me France got what they deserved because Ron Paul said it. The guy is a nut. That's all. He's a complete nut. And just because you like Ron Paul doesn't mean that he's still valid. He's a figment of your imagination. He has no validity anymore. It's one man's opinion. I'm sick and tired of justification of terrorism. You know what's barbaric about this show right now is I've just read, played for you one of the greatest speeches in the history of talk radio, and you're still talking to me about some marginal character, Ron Paul. How about calling and telling me how great my speech was? Or you agree with me that you finally understand who I am and how I stand apart from the pack? No, again, Ron Paul, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Oh, we're just having a laugh here at the Savage Nation. You know, I got to tell you something. I walk the tightrope every day over a canyon without a net below me. And the thing is, today, the tightrope I'm on in the last 2 days after the slaughter in France is higher. It seems higher than ever. It normally feels like it's 300 feet off the ground. Today it feels like it's 3,000 feet off the ground. And there's nothing below me. I mean, it's just a chasm. This is not an easy show to do. I want to play for you one of the spokesmouths on MSNBC saying there's no problem with tolerance in Islam. It's some analyst called Ayman Mohyeldin. Thank you very much for giving us this, NBC. The peacock has now lost its feathers. Listen to Five.
I don't think Islam as a religion has a problem with tolerance. I think that there are societal problems that are misinterpreted. Again, that is not a religious issue. That is not the way Islam... There were no cars at the time of Islam, so nobody could have come out and said, you can't drive. But some people have decided to interpret the religion in a way that has become counterproductive to women's rights.
How's that for double talk? So this moron, who Phil Griffin thinks is worthy of appearances on MSNBC, who says there's no problem with tolerance in Islam, should read a story I'm about to read to you. It came out minutes ago. ISIS beheads a street magician for entertaining crowds in Syria with his tricks. UK Mirror, Savage Nation. A street magician had his head chopped off by Islamic State thugs for entertaining passers-by with his tricks. The talented performer, loved by children, was dragged away while performing in the jihadist capital of Raqqa in Syria. He was later beheaded in a public square after his harmless stunts were deemed to insult Islam. A local individual who fled to safety in Turkey called his murder barbarism and butchery. The street magician was arrested by ISIS thugs during an impromptu show on a street corner as he tried to bring some much-needed cheer to the Syrian city. He was beheaded in public in a square after the religious fanatics branded his harmless tricks as anti-Islam and an insult to God because they created illusions and falsehood. They denounced the terrified magician show as haram, or forbidden by the Quran, because it was idle entertainment and kept locals from praying and attending the mosque. The activist who fled said the magician was a popular man who entertained people with little tricks on the street, like making coins or phone disappear. He was just called sorcerer by people, and children loved him. He was doing nothing anti-Islamic, but he paid for it with his life. Okay, now let's play clip five again from MSNBC.
I don't think Islam as a religion has a problem with tolerance. I think that there are societal problems.
You got the picture. You got the picture of the apologists in our own media, who are the front groups for the Islamofascists, front mouths for the Islamofascists, very much like the Bund, the German Bund, that was operating in America during the Nazi takeover of Europe in the 1930s. As we sat like morons in this country with a demilitarized military and a pacified press and a pacifist people, Hitler was invading one country after another, and the German-American Bund worked very much like these Muslim apologists are working overtime along with Phil Griffin of MSNBC and the other major networks who may as well be marching around. Well, you get the picture. I'll be back on the Savage Nation. Be here for the next hour.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, here we flow into hour number three of The Savage Nation today. It's an historic day in that the West seems to be waking up from its narcosis with regard to the threat of radical Islam, because one of theirs, 12 of theirs, in fact, were killed by Muslims in Paris yesterday. Now, as I said, 193 were slaughtered in Mumbai, if you remember that. They were mainly Indians and Jews. They didn't matter because they didn't have pencils and they didn't draw cartoons. They were just women and children slaughtered by Muslims, but that didn't seem to stay in the news too long because they were not cartoonists, nor were they Muslims, so there were no hashtags about je suis Jew, je suis Chabad, je suis Indian. No, that didn't matter. The Hindus have known about this for quite a while. In fact, they know about the peace-loving Muslims so well that the country of Pakistan had to be created for the Muslims. But did that stop the Muslim attacks upon Hindus? No. They're still fighting with the Hindus after they were given the country of Pakistan. So if you look at the world and the world's conflicts, you will see that of almost all of the world's conflicts, it seems to be Muslims who can't get along with their neighbors. What's that about? You can blame the neighbors if you want, but there's a certain point at which you have to start putting two and two together. And then you have to wake up from your own slumber and look at history. And history will tell you that Islam has been at war with the world ever since it was founded, because it's a doctrine of conquest and of submission. That's what Islam means. It means submission. It doesn't mean peace. Despite what your president tells you, it means submission. The hate preacher in England, Choudhury, wrote a column today that was published, of course, in the liberal USA Today, in which he said, Islam does not mean freedom of speech. It means submission to Allah. So if you want to get down on your hands and knees with a prayer rug, go ahead, be my guest. But the rest of America may wake up one day to realize enough is enough and do something about it. And that would be the day that America wakes up from its submission to liberalism. The phone number in this hour is 855-407-2828, as I said before. And let's go to KSFO in San Francisco. Deb, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Michael, I moved to call you after you being around here for 20 or 30 years because of your speech. It was fantastic. It reminds me of a phrase called the firstness of the First Amendment that I learned in law school by a great professor who's probably dead now. The firstness of the First Amendment is why this country is this country. No other country, UK, has no First Amendment. That's why we are the United States. It protects speech. It protects getting together. It protects the press. It protects religion. You find me what other country in the world that has that, and you understand that.
Deb, let me ask you, I heard by your speech, you've never called a show before. I heard you're a lawyer. Obviously, you went to law school, so you must at some point have been a practicing attorney. Deb, are you currently, do you consider yourself a Democrat today?
Oh, no. I don't consider myself anything. There is no...
There's no hope in anything anymore. The country is broken wide open with gangsters running everything. There's no differential between the parties. If you look at what Boehner and McConnell are doing, they're basically, I call them Barack O'Boehner. It's a one-party system, Deb.
On them, they must have something under the covers that they're blackmailing them with. That's all I can figure out.
Well, you're a very intelligent woman. What would they have to blackmail Mr. Mantan with?
I have no idea. The orgies,
No, come on. I don't think that's a possibility with McConnell.
Who knows?
I don't even think they could find anyone to do that with him for any amount of money.
The NSA.
I'm sorry. Okay. Let's not go down that road. We're not sitting and having a conversation in the Palace Hotel here. So, Deb, you've heard the show before, I take it?
High school across from me.
Yeah.
I went out one day, I had enough guts to try to distribute something about the Fourth Amendment. You know what a high schooler told me?
No.
He told me to get down on my knees. Level to his...
No.
When I was giving him this piece of paper about the Constitution.
Whoa. Why would he get so vulgar with you?
No reason. I've never seen the kids before in my life.
Well, that's an example of the American educational system. I guess rap music has taught them that that's the proper way to treat a lady.
Absolutely. It shocked me. And I've, because of your speech, I finally had the courage to call you today. And
but, I mean, I assume you've listened to my show before over the last 20 years, correct?
Yes, my husband used to listen to you, and it got on my nerves. But within the last 6 years, you've been right on. And I've changed, in part because of you, and in part of what I've seen go on.
That's very beautiful. It's very reassuring to hear that there's hope for people to change their political opinions, because most people will not. They could have slaughter occur right next to them, and they won't change their liberalism. You know that. And I'm not saying you were a liberal, but I can guarantee you that the liberals in San Francisco cannot put two together between what went on in Paris with their beloved cartoonists and Islam. They will not connect the dots. Instead, they'll be publishing articles about Islamophobia around the clock and the dangerous Islamophobes in San Francisco.
All I can say is you've got.
Is your husband around, or he passed on?
Something simple. These people can have.
Deb, hold on. Deb, is your husband still with us, or has he passed on?
Yeah.
No, has he? No, Deb, you're not answering me. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry.
Is your husband still with us, or has he passed on?
Still with us. He's still on your side, absolutely.
No, because you said I used to get on your nerves. I thought maybe now that if your husband passed away, I substituted for him.
No, I've just perhaps...
So that marriage became better in time because of me. That's what I'm hearing.
Absolutely.
I brought you guys together. There's a blessing right there.
Well, you have a point. Yeah.
You're good natured, but listen... This Banned in Britain thing really grates me. I'm the only member of the American media still banned from entering Britain because they assassinated my reputation based on lies, and nobody in the media came to my aid to this day. Even those who scream the loudest about being conservative and First Amendment and they're brave, they attacked me when it happened. Do you know that, Deb? Listen very carefully, and you'll find out who's who in reality, and thank you for listening to the show. What time is it now? 2:12. I'll tell you why I'm a little freaked out. I'm a little distracted. I told you it feels like I'm walking. You know, talk radio is like doing a show for any of us on a high wire with absolutely no net below us. That's the truth for anyone in the business, even people I detest. They have to walk on that high wire. We all do it. And I do it every day without looking down, because I learned to walk across chasms without looking down. You look straight ahead. But today I feel as though I'm walking on a wire 1,000 feet over a raging river. And there's a couple of reasons for it. The topic itself is very, very damaging to the soul, to realize that 1 billion people on the earth are practicing a religion that threatens to engulf the rest of us in their retrograde view of the world. That's number one. This is not an easy topic to deal with. The second thing is that the counterforce to it hardly exists. When you heard the tepid speeches of the leaders of Germany, France, England, the United States, all backpedaling yesterday in the face of Muslim terror, you say, my God, if it was Nazism, we'd be speaking German, or we'd be turned into lampshades. Well, that's what's going to happen to all of us unless there's a groundswell rise up in this world from the people themselves. But the problem is because at the end of the show, I have to put down the microphone, put on gym clothes, and run to a doctor to do it. It's just a medical thing, okay, but it's bothering me. It's nothing serious. I hate doctors. I mean, I don't hate them per se. I hate going to them. I don't like anything to do with doctors. I have a fear of medicine, fear of doctors. I've self-medicated myself my whole life, and I've done very well. Vitamins, herbs, vodka, garlic, you know, my own way. And I've been very, very fortunate so far. I've only had one surgery, which is my tonsils removed when I was 5 years old. When I go to a doctor, they say to me, so, Mr. Savage, will you please list the medications you're on as the doctor faces the wall on the chart? That's the new American medical model. They don't even look at you or touch you. Forget touch you. They don't look at you. The guy comes in and stares at the wall at the chart and says, so what medications are you on, Mr. Savage? And you're standing there shivering in the way, and I say to them, none. He turns around and says, what? Are you sure you're not making a mistake? I said, no, I take massive doses of vitamin C and vitamin A, massive doses of fish oils, etc. And they think that you're making it up. But I'm not making it up. So I've been very fortunate. But I know that one day, this will change. And I hope today is not the day. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. So the apologists, the Nazi sympathizers, you can call them anything you want. This is, again, a comparison to the 1930s. Hitler was on the move invading countries, conquering them, subjecting them to the oppression that the Nazis were known for, the murder, the torture, the terror. And in America, we had front groups and apologists for Hitler saying he's not such a bad guy. The Nazi Party has valid, legitimate gripes about policies in France, which was conquered, and in Poland, and they're just trying to make it a better place. And much of this is coming from MSNBC right now and CNN, two of the most despicable front groups you've ever seen. Listen now to Muslim comedian, whatever his name is, saying terrorists have valid, legitimate gripes about U.S. policies in clip 8.
The gripes that Muslim terrorists complain about often are actually valid and legitimate gripes that have to do with American foreign policy, that have to do with Israel-Palestine, and Muslims, by and large, have a tremendous amount of, let's say, sympathy for a lot of those sentiments. Where it becomes problematic is
you hear the cracking voice, violence. That's something that Jesse Jackson uses. This is an Islamo-Nazi, in my opinion, Islamo-fascist. He's calling himself a comedian, but he's part of the Bund, the Muslim-American Bund. And he's justifying murder right now under the guise of our problems. Now, of course, it's a complete lie, which is why they've killed in India, they've killed Hindus. In the Philippines, they've killed Christians. In Russia, they've killed Russians. In America, they've killed Americans. In England, they've killed British. And, of course, now in France, they've killed French. It's all because of the behavior of those who are being killed. It's because of their foreign policy. It's because of xenophobia. It's because they won't submit to Allah. Listen to clip 9 for more of the same from CNN.
We can't pretend as though the magazine was not totally racist and xenophobic and offensive on a lot of different levels. It wasn't just a matter of, oh, we drew the Prophet Muhammad in a cartoon and Muslims can't take it because they don't have room for free speech or freedom of expression. There's something a little more sinister going on.
All right, so this is what you see in a free country. In a free country, this man would be exposed for the Bund member that he is. This man would be exposed for the front man, the comedian front of the terror cell itself. And who do I quote to prove my point? The hate preacher in England, Adam Shudre, published in the USA Today newspaper, saying Islam does not mean peace. And he wrote this, he said, contrary to popular misconception, Islam does not mean peace, but rather means submission to the commands of Allah. Therefore, Muslims do not believe in the concept of freedom of expression, as their speech and actions are determined by divine revelation and not based on people's desires. So as you understand what I am saying to you, and now that compare that to what they're running on CNN and MSNBC, you will see that these channels are fundamentally organs of propaganda for radical Islam under the guise of peaceful Islam. CT on line one, Mr. Vilas, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
I come from India, from Hyderabad, a beautiful, very old city in the world, and it is dominated by Muslims. And at that time, Nizam was the king in the 20s and 30s, what have you. My great-grandfather was the prime minister of His Majesty the Nizam. He was murdered, actually, by the Muslims because they did not like a Hindu Brahmin. A Brahmin is of a highest caste person working hand-in-hand with Nizam. And then I was, these are the stories I heard. Then when I was 10 years old, I was walking with this Muslim old man who worked with my great-grandfather. His name was Bailey. And I said, Bailey, why did they build a mosque right in the middle of the road? I mean, at that time, there was so much of land in Hyderabad. Mm-hmm. He gave me a very interesting explanation. He says, this signifies the invasion of Islam, a fight with the Hindus at this part. He said, yes, any time they conquer a place, that conquer is not complete unless they build a mosque here.
Hold on. Now, remember in New York City after 9/11, do you remember what Mayor Bloomberg was trying to do along with his Muslim friends, build a victory mosque at the Ground Zero? Do you remember that, how we argued over that? We kept saying it's a victory mosque, and Bloomberg kept saying, no, it isn't?
No. I put them two together. That why do they want to build a mosque right next to Ground Zero? Then when two blocks from that area in New York City, there is a mosque.
That's correct, because they wanted to show that they conquered New York.
Yes, their invasion is not complete. It is completely incomplete. That's why.
So, Vilas, as a Hindu from India, by the way, the area you're describing, is that in the Kashmir district?
No. This is completely in the south.
Oh.
Called Andhra Pradesh. It is called the Cyber City of India.
So, what would you tell the American audience about Muslims getting along with their Hindu neighbors?
There is no way that we can ever get along with them. We as Hindus can get along with any community, and most secular country in the world I have seen, where there is only 2 or 3% population Christians are there, but the national holiday is declared on Christmas. Muslims, there are 2 national holidays. We have so much of tolerance to make friends with them, but they will never be friends with you.
Well, that's why Gandhi separated the Muslims from the Hindus. They created Pakistan, but it still wasn't enough. It didn't seem to stop the hatred toward the Hindus.
Absolutely. Because they do not...
Why is it that I'm the only one in the media who knows that Pakistan was carved out of thin air in order to pacify the Muslim aggressors? Why? How come no one seems to know this?
Nobody knows, because they don't know...
You know why, my friend? Because nobody knows anything. We're living in an age of ignorance unlike any I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've taught every grade from the first grade through graduate school. I've never seen a dumber population than that in America today. And I thank you so much for calling the program. When I return, the phone number is 855-407-2822. Open to any call.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
Well, there's so much bad news out there. I think we have good news for you now. One of the most despicable people in the history of the Senate, Barbara Boxer, has announced today that she's going to retire from the Senate in 2016. Now, that on the face of it, that's good news. This despicable, double-talking, phony progressive, whose husband and son have done out very well as a result of her work in the Senate, in my opinion, will be leaving us. But who will replace her is the question. It will be someone even more despicable than Barbara Boxer, no doubt. Another one from the radical, useless, anti-American left. But let's listen to the good news from the Harridan herself in clip 15.
I am never going to retire. The work is too important, but I will not be running for the Senate in 2016. I'm going to continue working on the issues that I love. I'll have more time to help other people through my PAC for Change community.
Oh, there
I
we
have
go.
To make sure this Senate seat stays progressive. That is so critical. And I want to help our Democratic candidate for president make history.
She wants to make sure the Senate's seat stays progressive. Well, the Senate isn't progressive anymore. It's regressive. It's been regressive for quite a while. And her seat is guaranteed to attract louts for sure. I don't think even a moderate centrist could run in her seat and have a chance to win, honestly. And really, what difference does it really make is the question. You know, people have said to me, should they run? They have money. Should they run for the Senate? I said, you know, you'll be 1 of 100. And what power would you really have as a senator? Don't you understand you get nullified the minute you become one of them? They say, but if good people don't run, then evil people prevail. Well, we saw what happened with evil people prevailing, I have ever known. A sudden shriek of praises to Allah by his executioner squelched the memory. For a pitiful moment, John screamed for mercy. Everything to me leads back to national security. There's so many problems and so many issues. But to me, unless we have national security, the rest are worthless. And to undermine the CIA the way she did before Christmas, she knew she must remain silent or suffer the same fate. Even now, the Islamists ruling her continent were trying to convince her they were not that bad. The mullahs, after all, were gracious enough to permit her to collect her husband's head and torso and to bury them in a cemetery without crosses. Welcome to the United Islamic State of Europe, year 2075. Paranoid delusions? Well, guess again if you dare to face the savage truth. You see, I wrote, radical Islam isn't a religion as much as it is a political movement with global aspirations. Its leadership masquerades in holy robes while carrying the Quran in one hand and an AK in the other. Their goal? To convert you or kill you, that's all. Nothing short of total victory will do. And with one-fifth of the Earth's population subscribing to Islam, the radical fringe is working overtime to infiltrate the rest.
To know your opinion, can people, you know, really run away from what's going on and trying to just, you know, survive, you know, 3 or 4 years and just live off of the grid? I was kind of wondering your opinion.
Well, first of all, I admire survivalists. There's a bit of a survivalist in me. There always has been as a man who was once a plant hunter or a botanist. I've always admired people who can live off the land. In fact, all of my research as an ethnobotanist was about people who would live for millennia off the land. When you think about isolated islands in the South Pacific, look at the people there who have lived since the beginning of time, or since the ice receded or whatever, and they wound up on an island, however they got there. What are they living on? They're living on the plants, they're living on the animals, they're living on their knowledge of the local terrain. So I've always admired survivalists. One of my favorite bedtime reading books is A Military Survival Guide of How to Live Off the Land. I greatly admire survivalists. Is that the answer for the hundreds of millions of Americans? Obviously not. But I know several people who are such individuals. They live in the society. They practice medicine in the society. But they have their hideaways in hidden locations. Should the time come, they can live off the land, and I admire them greatly.
Right. But with everything, the way it's changing and things like that, I mean, do you think it's really going to make a difference? And really,
it'll make a difference for them. It'll make a difference for them. I mean, if things crumble to the point where the infrastructure is no longer functional, of course it will make a difference to them.
Well, for them, absolutely. But, you know, I hear some of them speak and they talk about trying to, you know, help rebuild the infrastructure. I mean, is that possible? Do you think that's capable?
Rebuild the American infrastructure while running away? You can't do both. All right, the bottom line is that I love survivalists. I think they're great people, and I admire them enormously. And believe me, it's not a constituency that's large for my show. I'm not saying it to get any votes or get any listeners. I doubt that it's 0.01% of my listenership. But it's just a personal attraction to me. I've always been attracted to people who know how to survive off the land. I think it's what makes man man, the ability to do that, and how far we are from our abilities to do so is amazing when you think that all of us come from people who did that way back when, you know. Well, what else is in the news? Let's get some breaking news out there. We'll give the folks listening to the show in the third hour some bang for their buck. Give us the breaking news sound. Now we come to the most astonishing statement of the day. Mr. John Boehner, Mantan himself, says, I'm the most anti-establishment speaker we've ever had. That's right. That's breaking news because it breaks your brain. It breaks your brain to actually hear the man say that. I'm the most anti-establishment speaker we've ever had. He argued during a press conference today that it pains him to be described as a squish by members of his own party. His comments directed at the conservative wing of the GOP come days after 25 members of his own party voted against him, but he still won re-election. And he says he is the most anti-establishment speaker ever. And it does pain me to be described as spineless or a squish. He says, I'm the most anti-establishment speaker we've ever had. Well, that's the Ohio Republican, John Mantan Boehner. And now we return to regular broadcasting right here on the Savage Nation. Now, here's another piece of sad news. We had good news, now we have sad news. Mia Love defends the vote for Boehner as Speaker. Now, Mia Love was once a hope of mine. She's the young conservative lady. I think she's from Utah, Salt Lake City, am I correct? I believe so. Newly elected Utah Rep. Mia Love defended her decision to vote in favor of John Boehner for House Speaker yesterday. Her vote, the first as she was sworn in as the first black female Republican in Congress, disappointed some self-proclaimed constituents who wanted her to take a stand with other conservatives against Boehner. Now, I'm one of those people, very, very disappointed in her. But she's a pragmatist, who understands how to survive as a freshman congressman. What you don't know is that there's no freedom in Congress. I think you don't understand how the system works. Mia Love, no doubt, along with all the other newcomers, were called into a committee room or a back room for lunch, and they were told in no uncertain terms, here's how the game works. If you vote against Boehner, we'll cut off all funding to your district, and we will gerrymander your district, as we did to Alan West, and you'll be thrown out of office in the next election. You'll be starved for funds, you won't get a dime, and we'll gerrymander you out of business. They were told that it's a cold world out there, and we'll make sure that if you vote against Boehner, you'll be left out in the cold. That's how politics works. It's a dirty game. It's an evil game. It's a rotten game, and it's run by money. And that's no doubt what happened. So if you want her to be principled, then you better go to the movies and watch Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, because it doesn't exist. It's that simple. And by the way, that's why I never became a politician. I'm a realist. I'm a pragmatist and a realist. I have contemplated over the years. There's no question that I or several other people in the media and the talk radio media could have been or could be congressmen or senators. There's no question about it. We've had followings for many years. We have the infrastructure in the listenership, in the readerships. There's no question about it. But I have total freedom on the radio. I don't want to live in a world where there is no freedom, and that's Congress. And no amount of power or money is worth it to me. It's not about taking a pay cut or anything like that. I cannot live in such a constrained world as politics. It's that simple, and I think that that's what was just been shown to us by this Mia Love. I mean, she just capitulated to the Boehner group, who said, you know, do it the way we want or you're out of business. That's all. That's why she did it. I mean, this is the way it works. You can live in any world. You can dream anything you want, but it's not going to happen. They voted against her behind the scenes. They told her what would happen to her. Look what they did to Alan West. Alan West is a first-rate American, former war hero, and a great guy. And look what they did to him in Florida. They gerrymandered his district, so he lost. The Republicans did that to him in Florida. So what hope would there be for any one of us who go in there with all of the best intentions? It's a dirty business. It's something made for Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer. They're made for that kind of business. It's the kind of pigsty that they have thrived in for all of these years, because that's the nature of the beast. It's that simple. WABCJ, welcome to the Savage Nation from New York City. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm an old hippie, and I've come to the conclusion that multiculturalism just doesn't work. It seems like we'll never be able to peacefully coexist, no matter how much we accommodate them and subsidize them.
Well, welcome to the club of those of us who have seen that multiculturalism was noble in its inception, but a disaster when you look at what's happened in Europe. And look at what's happening in America. Are they assimilating here?
And, you know, I think it's really the left wing that poisoned the relationship between whites and blacks in America.
Obama said that race relations have never been better, but we know the opposite is true. He stirred up hatred between the races unlike any I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Well, you know, you grew up in the 60s, and I remember whites and blacks, particularly in the late 60s, we got along famously.
That's right. That's what I was saying. In the 50s, I was a kid. I went to the Apollo Theater in Harlem. No one got knifed. No one got shot. No one got beaten up. We watched the Alan Freed Rock and Roll Show. We left the theater all high as a kite on the music itself. No one got beaten up. Take a look at the country today after 6 years of this divisive president.
I know.
So, my friend, welcome to the club. Thank you for listening to the show. You know, you build an audience like this one ex-hippie at a time is what it comes down to. I mean, we have the conservatives listening. But, look, this is a bad time we're living through right now. It's bad because it's bad, but it's worse because there's a capitulation in the press and a capitulation in the government itself. So who is going to speak for us? A man calls just now and says he's an ex-hippie. And he says he's seen the truth, it doesn't work, and multiculturalism is a disaster. What are we going to do about it is the issue. We just had an election. We put what we thought was the opposition party in power. And what happened? Boehner turned out to be the Benedict Arnold that we feared he would be. And so what happens to those who voted against them? They were removed from their committee chairs. And so we have to turn now to history to get an answer of what, a reading, an x-ray, of what exactly is going on.
And so I can turn best to Cicero, the Roman orator from 42 B.C. This quote is from 42 B.C., and it goes like this. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. Marcus Tullius Cicero, Roman orator and statesman, 42 B.C. He was speaking about the Democrats, socialist progressives of today. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Welcome back to the program. Listen, I want to remind you that I would have talked a lot more about it this week. The Savage Paul Revere Society's What Does It Mean to Be an American Essay Contest, the rules, the $100,000 in conservative scholarships that I'm giving away, and the rules are up on michaelsavage.com. I'm not looking to sell you anything. I'm looking to give you something. I mean, everyone thinks that you're always selling them something. But it's a Savage scholarship contest that counters anti-Americanism. I'm awarding $20,000 for 2 years to each of five winners. We'll receive essays from January 15th through March 31st of this year, my birthday, God willing. Winners will be announced on July 4th. The winners will be invited on this show to talk about their essays. And if you know someone who's deserving, they can go to my website and apply. Now, remember, it's only open to college students, no graduate students. If you have financial aid, you can't apply. This is for poorer kids who have no one to help them, really, or have no way to go to college. I want to help them. And it's as simple as an essay on what does it mean to be an American. How hard is that? It's very hard. In an age where Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper's minds have penetrated the colleges, it's very difficult for a kid to write an essay on what does it be to be an American without writing that they hate the country. And it's designed to encourage college students enrolled in 2 or 4 year colleges to study and promote traditional American conservative values. Judges will choose the winning entries, and prizes will be awarded according with these official rules. You have to be 17 years of age or older, or actually you can be younger now. I think we've changed the rules because I had applicants who were actually 16 years old. This is the Savage Nation trying to make the world a better place one day at a time. Thanks for listening.